are derived from the pasuk, right? So the first shira was, it was chita. What's the shira of chita? If you're wearing your clothes and you come into a house that has saras, that you are tamei immediately, your clothes will not become tamei until you've had time to like get out a piece of bread and put some hummus on it and drink tzedayim and eat it a little bit. It takes a little while. Right? I mean, not super long, but time, right? Sa'ura. Which shir is sa'ura? Disnan. Etzim ke sa'ura metame be'maga uvimasa ve'enoi metame be'ohil. Okay, so we have a halacha in Ohalos and Tehinichos Tumas Meis that an etzim ke sa'ura, an etzim, a bone, which is the size of a barley seed, right? Will be metame if you touch it, or if you move it, even if you haven't actually touched it. But it will not be metame if you shadow over it. Right? This is one of the reasons why it's so problematic for Kohanim to go to... It's so problematic for Kohanim in Poland. If you go into a death camp, the chances that you'll by accidentally knock a bone, which is the size of a barley seed, are relatively high. They're everywhere. Right? Unless they're literally burnt down to ash.
What?
Okay. But Geffen...
Did you know that?
Geffen.
grapes, right? G'day revis yayin lenazir. So the halacha is that a nazir is not allowed to have any wine, right? And since we paskin that having less than the shear is an isu d'oraisa, right? It's machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the 8th parak of Yuma, but we paskin that it's like Rabbi Yochanan, it's an isu d'oraisa to have less than the shear, right? So a nazir is forbidden to have any wine whatsoever.
Is that mean by nazir? Or any shear that's anything that's asur to consume, even having less than the shear is still asur.
No, anything. Anything. We pass in pachis mikashir is nisidor, right? So there's just no punishment for it.
Yeah.
You don't get malchus, you don't bring korban. But, right? So a nazir is forbidden to have, it will get malchus for having a revius of wine. Now, the implication of this Gemara, as just about everybody points out, is that actually also applies to grapes. Remember that a nazir is not only forbidden from having wine, it's forbidden from having anything which comes from a grape, including the grape itself. Right? So this seems to apply to grapes as well. It's very unusual. Usually what would be the shira for a solid, like a grape?
Kazayit.
Right, a kazayit, right? So this is very, very unusual. Now, the truth, if you look in the text in the staff, so Rabbi Natan had a girsa, which he says is an old girsa, that he didn't invent it, like he found it in Sfarim, that... It's actually, even for a nazir, the souls will be kazayis, but we usually pass in that for a nazir, the shir chiyuv is revis, even for solids.
So
how would you measure revis of a solid?
Water displacement.
Again, water displacement. Aristotle.
Very good, right? Basically what you do is you mark a revis at the top of the glass, from the top of the glass down, right? And then you start putting the things into the glass until you have displaced the revis.
Great, can you repeat the
basically what you do is...
No, the repeat the idea of the revis. Is that... But didn't you just say revis? That a nazir can't have anything?
Yes.
So what's the value of revis?
Malchus.
Oh, Malchus.
Okay. Te'ena, right? So a te'ena is a fig, right? Which shear terms for a fig? Kegregeres lehitzah Shabbos. Most things, if you were to carry them outside the house in Shabbos and it was to be from Rosh Hashanah Yachid Doraisa to a Rosh Hashanah Rabban Doraisa, right? Meaning there would be an Issa Doraisa involved. You would be chayav achatos if the thing you'd taken out was the size of a gregeres. And that's not true for all things and such a tanoim and so on and so forth, but fine.
Is it all convenient?
A gregarious is a dried fig. A gregarious, by the way, is a dried fig. It's not a fresh fig. So it's a little bit smaller. Okay. Rimon, pomegranate is none. Kol keli bali batim. All the things that are not a kli of... They're not an implement of somebody who, you know, does, like, work with that implement. They're a kli, like a pot that you have in your kitchen. You cook, but you're not a chef type of thing, right? Shi'uran kerimonim. They're... Its shear, right, to become tamei will be if it has a hole which is the size of a pomegranate. Right, I'm sorry, if it can no longer be tamei. If it has a hole that big in it. If it's a hole, it does not have a hole that big in it, it can still become tamei.
A pomegranate or the seed?
A pomegranate. It's a big hole.
It's a big hole.
So the truth is, Tosis point out that there's a mission in Kalim that says that he would need to be a whole size of 3 pomegranates.
What happens if it's one of those like circular like cake pans that's got a hole in it? Like you know you get those like marble cake shapes. You know, like the circular cakes with like the hole in the middle.
It's called a bundt.
Yeah, when there's like a giant hole in the pan itself.
That's not a hole in the pan.
It has to be definitely a hole in the holding substance.
I was going to say, that's just the shape of the... That just happens to be the shape of the pen. Okay. So, Tosis point out there's a mission in Kalim that says that he actually needs three pomegranates. This hole needs to be the size of 3 pomegranates, even bigger.
And there's no...
There's no clue left. So, the Tosis have two tirots in. You do need 1 pomegranate or 3 pomegranates. So, they have 2 ways of explaining it. The first way of explaining it, they just say... So we're talking about either 1 very large pomegranate or 3 very small pomegranates. It's the same. It's the same shear. Just it's a question of, you know, how big are the pomegranates that we're discussing. The second thing they suggest is no. Maybe what we're talking about, it has to be big enough that three pomegranates could fall through a hole one after the other, which is like slightly bigger, right? If it was just the size of the pomegranate, then the pomegranates are going to get stuck a little bit. They're not going to be able to just fall through. So it has to be big enough that the pomegranates can just fall through one after the other. I'm sorry.
Second one makes better sense.
Okay. Glad you're proof.
Does it have to be one hole?
Okay, I might have to this.
Do you approve?
What?
Do you approve?
I generally approve of Tosis. This is an ideological thing. okay. Eretz Zeshemen, right? So that's what's Zeshemen? Eretz Shekol Shiureya Kazaisim. Kazais is a standard shear for, you know, most things in Torah. Fine. Kol Shiureya. Okay. Note that when we're talking about Zeshemen, is it going to say this? No, it's not, so I'll say it. Right. When we talk about a Zeis Shemen, so the Yerushalmi and Bavli point out in multiple places, both of them agree on this, we're talking about a Zeis Aguri. What does Zeis Aguri mean? So it's a storage, but it means a storage olive, meaning what? It's not an olive for Edim. The olives that you buy for Edim in the market are not the olives we're discussing. Right? There are different type of olive. It really is a different type of olive. It's bred to hold oil and is bigger.
Cool.
Okay. So
can you eat them?
Sorry?
Like, I mean, if you ate them,
you'd probably make
you
a real mess.
You can eat that book if you want.
They're edible.
No, are they food?
They're edible, but it's not really what they're meant for. They're bred specifically because they happen to hold a tremendous amount of oil. Right? It is a bigger olive. That is the olive that is used for shiurim. That does not mean that, you know, eating enough matzah to fill up a whole watermelon is necessarily the shiur that the Gemara is talking about, but, like, as in... The shear is not the size of the olives you're buying in the supermarket.
Cool.
Okay.
Today, do they also
it's
have
pretty
these?
Big. No.
That's like the size
bigger.
Of the olives we eat.
Like this.
Today, do
they're
we have
big olives?
Big olives. Do they make oil out of big olives?
No. I don't have olives that big today, bro.
Are you serious?
They do. It's just not sold. It's just people don't realize because it's not sold. It's not sold typically to consumers.
Green olives are like this big.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Those are oil olives. I mean, you can eat them, but they're really bred for the purpose of squeezing them for oil. I haven't eaten them myself. I'll take your word for it.
I'm more of an avocado fan.
Okay.
What's the guess?
Good to know. Right.
The Gemara
immediately asks, "Kol shiurei asagadayga? What are you talking about? Not everything in the Torah is measured in kazeisim. We've already brought you examples of things that are not measured in kazeisim, right?" And then I listen to this. Ha ika hani damrina, which said that bunch of aren't. Ela ema shebroiv shiurei asagadayim kazeisim. Most things in Torah are measured as a kazeis, right? It's not saying everything. Right? Many things. Most things. Okay. Dvash. So what's dvash? Dvash is dvash tmarim, right?
Yes.
So what that means? We're talking about dates. So what is the shear that is used for dates? So if you were to dry up a date, right? If you were to dry up a date, then what you get that size is how much you're allowed to eat maximally on Yom Kippur without getting karis. I mean, again, it's still an Issa D'oraisa to eat anything at all on Yom Kippur. But the Yisra Kares is when you eat that much. Why? The Gemara in Yuma says because that's how much it takes to like minimally satisfy someone. And since the Yisra is for it's phrased as kol nefesh asher lo yiseune, right? Anybody who does not torment themselves on Yom Kippur. So the idea is if you eat just a little bit, then that doesn't break the torment of fasting, and therefore that's not the Yisra. The Yisra is a kachoseves agasa, a big kachoseves, a big dried up date.
Well,
right? You think I don't want to, as in, like, if you think, as in, what's probably talking about is a medjool date.
A what?
It's called a medjool date these days.
The best ones.
They're also bigger. Right, they're slightly, like, they're just a bigger breed of dates.
Dates are what? Great.
I happen to not be a fan of, like, plain dates. I do like them sometimes when they use mixed with things.
Dry,
I prefer romantic dates.
I'm sorry?
I prefer romantic dates.
Good to know. I love it that we get these, like, wonderful revelations on Ahmed Yomi. By the way, you are all aware that this goes up on the Torah. And that's not a joke.
Can you see how many views you get?
What?
Can you see?
I'm not sure.
We could put this under the comedy section.
Okay.
To be honest, though, most people who listen to this don't really know who we are.
That's probably true. Well, actually, I'm guessing if anybody at all listens to it, they probably know exactly who you are, but sure. Alma Daraisa, and in who?
But those people are not worried about.
Okay, so the Gemara says that implies that Shurim are Midaraisa, right? Shurim are Daraisa. That's the implication of the Gemara that we just learned. It says, right, but Tispera. Does this make sense? Shiurin Miksiv? Is it really true that Shiurim are written in the Torah? No, they're not. There's no text in the Torah for Shiurim, right? Ella, rather, Hilchasan Inu Bekras Maktaba Almahu. Really, they're Hilchasa, they're Alacha Mesh Messina, I will translate it that way, right? And the Pasuk is just an Asmachta, right? What does the Pasuk really come for? So Rashi says the Pasuk really comes for the purpose of, of just like saying nice things about Eretz Yisrael. Right, these are all awesome things. So let's say Eretz Yisrael has all of them, and that's how awesome Eretz Yisrael is.
Okay. Oh, which is shat.
That's pshat shmik. Okay. Chatzitzin doraisa ninhu. Right. Chatzitzin are doraisa, meaning chatzitza when you go to a mikvah. Right. Doraisa dichtziv verachatz b'mayim shaliyeh davar chatzitz levenoi levein hamayim. Because the pasuk says that you should wash verachatz b'mayim, you should wash yourself in water. There shouldn't be anything between you and the water.
Can I just ask how do we get to chatzitz?
Because we mentioned it above. Shurin chatzitzin v'mechitza is doraisa, right? That was the previous amud, right? Right, so the halacha, we have a drasha that there should not be anything between you and the water. Ki asai hilchasa lesa'aroi. So, this halacha is coming to teach us a din about your hair. Right, that your hair also should not have a chatzitza. It's not enough that just your body, right? Your hair having a chatzitza is not a good thing also for the tefillah, a possible tefillah. Right, Kedra Bar Chana, this is similar to what Rabba Bar Chana says, Da'amar Rabba Bar Chana, Nima Achas Kshura Chaitzetzes Shalosh Einan Chaitzetzes. So if you have one, because he has a din, so if you have one hair which is tied on itself, then that actually forms a chatzitza. But if you have three that are tied on themselves, you don't. Because if you have three that have been tied in a knot, so the knot's going to be so tight. Right, so water's going to be able to get into it. But if you have one hair which is tied in a knot, then that will pass off because that can be made a very tight knot.
What happens,
be able to water that can get
what happens if you have curly hair?
I mean, so I don't want to get too into the details of chatzitza now. In principle, before you do a tefillah, at least before you do a tefillah, that's a mitzvah, that's a chiyuv, you're meant to do what's called a chafifa. Right? Now, chafifa literally translates as cleaning out your hair and then brushing it. It's really a more involved halacha. It means it's actually a very detailed check on your body to make sure that there's nothing on your body that could be a chatzitza, there's no dirt under your fingernails. Usually, women before they can. This is really weird. I mean, it's relevant to men because they're unless they're doing aliyah l'harbayis. But women, once a month, once they marry, right, have to do this.
So
they clear, it's like an hour or two. They clear, it usually involves a long soak in the bath because you really have to get all the dirt off. They have to clip their nails. They have to brush their hair.
They
have to wash their hair very carefully. There's a discussion in the post-game, are they allowed to wash their hair with conditioner? Because the whole point of conditioner is actually stays in their hair afterwards, right?
Oh, yes.
Right, so things like that. It's quite a detailed check of the body.
And would grease, because like grease in the hair, like when you have greasy hair, would that be considered a chatzitza?
Okay, so the basic halach in chatzitza is ruboy b'makpid is a problem. Ruboy is a b'makpid is a problem d'oraisa. Right, if it covers most of that thing, and you don't want it there, let's say you went for a mud bath, right? So you don't usually want mud all over you. So if you were then going to mikvah after that, that'd be a problem because it's ruboy and makpid, right? It's covering most of your body, and your makpid, that's a problem d'oraisa. If it's either covering most of your body, but you're fine with it, or it's not, or most of your hair, by the way, or it's not covering most, or it's not covering most of your hair, hair or body, but you do mind it anyway, then it's an issa d'rabbanan. By the way, definitions of what mine is, I'm not getting into the details right now. That's an issa d'rabbanan. We pass in it passes the tefillah anyway, whether d'oraisa d'rabbanan, the machlekes achronim, but it does pass all the tefillah. Right, the tefillah needs to be redone. The truth is ruba and makpid is really halacha, and if you learn the halachas here, it's really said in the Gemara about hair. So Tosis recorded a din that maybe ruba and makpid being daraisa is only for the hair, right? But they passed in that even for the same rules apply for the hair as for the body. Right? So either most of the hair or most of the body, or if there's anything in the hair but you care about it, or anything on your body that you care about it, it passes the tefillah. We pass in the tefillah needs to be redone.
Cool.
Okay. Shtayim ein yodea. Shtayim is anyway. So back to Rabbi Bar Chana said, one hair taking time itself is a problem. Three hairs is not such a big deal, but the yevad, because the water can get into the knot. Two hairs, he says, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure how tight a knot you can make out of two hairs. Sa'aroi nami daraisahin. Right. So Sarah Nami Doraisa Ninu, but her hair is not a tradition, it's not halacha mech mesinai, right? It's a din doraisa. It's a real din doraisa written in Torah. Dichsiv, as a pasuk says, Rechas b'saroi b'mayim, you should wash your flesh, your body in water. Es ha-tafel liv saroi, right? You should wash even that which is, you know, tafel, which is less important than your body. Umayniu saroi, that's referring to your hair. So the hair is really, that there shouldn't be a chatzitza in your hair is really din doraisa. It's not a halacha mech mesinai, which is what the braisa said. Ki asayirsa, what the halacha mech mesinai? Lichter Rabbi Yitzchak is similar to what Rabbi Yitzchak says. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Ruba Makpid Alav. I was going to discuss it now, right? The Torah said Ruba Yivem Makpid Alav. If it covers most of your body or most of your hair, and you care about it being there, chaytzeitz. It's a pasal tefila. V'she'ene makpid alav, ene chaytzeitz. But if it's either ruboy v'ene makpid, or it doesn't mention it, but fine, or makpid but not ruboy, then it's only nisdar abona, not nisdar raisa. Right? Here, like I said, it's only talking about the hair. It's only specifically mentioning it with regard to the hair. The Tosfos say that applies to the body as well. We pass him. The gazra ruboy she'ene makpid mishum ruboy hamakpid, and they made a gzeira about ruboy, even if you don't care, because you might come to then allow, if you would allow that, you might come to allow roy covering a roy of your body, even if you do care. Val miyuta hamakpid mishum ruboy hamakpid. They also made a gzeira on if it doesn't cover most of your body or most of your hair, but you care about it being there, you want it out, right? They made a zero against that about that because of ruba v'makpid, because if you allowed miut v'makpid, if you allowed it to, even if it wasn't covering most of your hair or most of your body, but you wanted it out, if you would allow that, then you might come to think that ruba v'makpid is mutter, right? And that would be a psul in the tefillah d'oraisa. So the Gemara asks, "V'ligzer nami al miutish aina makpid mishum miutay makpid inami mishum ruba v'aina makpid." Shouldn't we make a zera then about miut ve'ena makpid? Right? Meaning it doesn't have either of the two factors that make it deraisa. It's not a roiv and it's not makpid. Shouldn't we make a zera about any chatzitza whatsoever? So he says, he gufa gzera, nikim v'nigzor gzera legzera. No, says the Gemara. This was a gzera. Right? What we were discussing here was a gzera that you shouldn't be tovel with either a miut ve'makpid or ruboy ve'ena makpid. But those two are already derabanans. So to be gzeir a miut ve'ena makpid, it would be a second level of derabanans. That's called a zera l'gzeira. And Chazal usually, not always, don't make zera l'gzeira. There are some cases where we do make zera l'gzeira. We have loads of zera l'gzeira in kashrus. For example, we have a halacha that you can't put chicken and milk on the same table that you're eating from, even though chicken and milk is already, and even if you were to cook chicken and milk together and then eat it, it would only be a zera l'gzeira. we assume Lalasa, against the Tai Sais. Or, you know, in Arius, right, we have lots of Xeril Xeras. Many of the Sneas are actually Xeril Xera, not a first level Xera. Then other areas, right, in Avodah Zarah, we have certain Xeril Xeras. Xeril Xera does happen, but it's relatively unusual. Most of the time, Chazal will keep to this rule that they don't make Xeril Xeras.
Cool.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach, Alex.